Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Heal Your Anxious Attachment. Release past trauma, cultivate secure relationships, and nurture a deeper sense of self. By Jennifer Nurek, MA, narrated by Jennifer Nurek. Introduction. You are not broken in need of fixing. You're deeply hurt in need of care. Ariella Schwartz, The Complex PTSD Workbook. You've been drawn to this book because you're ready to heal your anxious attachment and the shame, confusion, disconnection, and pain accompanying it. Anxious attachment pain may be triggered in a variety of ways, but the experience is familiar. Let's say your partner unexpectedly receives a text from their ex. Your heart pounds and your mind starts racing at 100 miles an hour. How long have they been talking? Has he been cheating on me? Is he going to leave me? You're flooded with emotion. When you ask about the message, you're already shouting because you've assumed the worst. And your partner responds defensively and dismisses rather than reassures you. You threaten to leave the relationship. This is the last thing you want, but you seem to have no control over your behavior and can't calm down. Afterward, you panic, terrified that your partner is going to break up with you for your crazy behavior. You feel confused and ashamed about how you reacted. I'm messed up. There's something wrong with me. I'm going to be alone forever. These thoughts are like a knife to your heart, damaging your sense of self-worth and ability to trust yourself. You just need to be reassured that your partner is faithful, that they love you, and that you're safe in the relationship. Sometimes you receive this reassurance, and sometimes you do not, which leaves you in a repeating cycle of feeling out of control, even like you're crazy. Know that you're not crazy, that you're not alone in this experience, and that you're welcome here in this safe space with me. I hope this book will help you understand and break these painful cycles. You can create a strong sense of self-worth, self-trust, and self-confidence to experience life and relationships from a place of calm and connectedness. You're ready. You deserve this. As we begin, know this. Your anxious attachment is a healthy adaptation to a confusing situation. It results from your first experiences with love and connectedness from your early childhood. This means you make sense. To emphasize this, in this book, wherever possible, I've changed the phrase anxious attachment to anxious adaptation. Doing this emphasizes the root cause of this phenomena as an adaptation, not a diagnosis or disorder. Imagine that as a child, you were like a seed landing on the forest floor, full of potential. A seed will grow according to the light, moisture, and nutrients it receives. It grows around the roots of the other trees and finds pockets of nourishment. You were the same, quickly learning to adapt your behavior to your surroundings to stay safe and survive. These adaptations you made then will influence the rest of your life. They become the lens through which you perceive and operate in the world. Attachment adaptations are the result of experiencing different kinds of trauma during your childhood. They include what some have called big T trauma, such as abuse, neglect, domestic violence, living in a war zone. They also encompass small T trauma, like ongoing bullying, feeling unloved, repeatedly being told that you're stupid, or living with an adult where there's little emotional connection. Don't dismiss small T trauma as not being real trauma. Small T traumas build up like 1,000 tiny paper cuts and significantly impact your emotional development and the adult you've become. Children can be wounded in multiple ways, by bad things happening, yes, but also by good things not happening. When you're in the moment, experiencing an anxious attachment adaptation and frustrated with yourself, it's likely you're unaware of the unresolved childhood trauma that sits behind it. I know this pain well because I've lived it myself. I grew up in an area peppered with alcoholics, drug users, domestic violence, mixed in with the friendly neighbors trying to do their best to live a good life. We all knew the houses that were safe and the ones that weren't. In my home, I knew things weren't right. But because it looked better than the others, and because I was frequently told how lucky I was convinced things were okay. Still, a nagging feeling wouldn't leave. There was something about it that was not okay. Only as an adult could I see that for most of my childhood, my dad suffered with mental health issues. As a child, I was confused. Why didn't he love me? What was wrong with me? Why wouldn't he speak to me for days at a time? I learned to be vigilant around him, to watch for signs of upsetting him, and to moderate my behavior. I learned that love was not freely given, that love was conditional, and that something about me was unlovable. My anxious adaptations around relationships grew out of this fertile soil. After I left home as a young adult, I continued a pattern of landing in relationships where I felt anxious. I fell deeply in love with a man from a strict religious tradition. We wanted to get married, but both he and his parents wanted me to convert. The subtext said, "We will try to break you up unless you convert. If you do what we want, you'll be accepted. Maybe." It was a repeating cycle of unprocessed childhood pain. On top of that, my partner was aloof and often felt distant, so I found myself feeling anxious. Again, I was being presented with a situation where something about me was unlovable. My mind would reason that it was because I was not the right religion, but my body and heart couldn't feel it. As he mediated between his family and me, I felt alone and betrayed without anyone to support me. And this is where I abandoned myself without knowing it. I was so disconnected from my core self and afraid of being rejected further that I struggled to set boundaries to protect myself. This made me mentally, emotionally, and spiritually ill. Through the worst year, I cried almost daily as I was increasingly in touch with feelings that I thought I'd buried along with my childhood. I found it challenging to regulate myself. I didn't recognize myself and knew that I needed some help. This book distills many years of my personal and clinical work. It is a roadmap to the work. As a psychotherapist and energetic healer, I've walked with thousands of people on their journey of healing the anxious attachment adaptation and finding their way to secure love of themselves and others. While I primarily work with women in heterosexual relationships, everything presented in this book applies equally to all sexual orientations and gender identities. Within this book, you'll learn about the anxious adaptation, how it's formed, and what it looks like in action as you embark on your healing journey. You will learn holistic, trauma-informed, body-based methods, mindfulness techniques, and parts work. The first half of the book takes you on a journey of coming home to yourself in body, mind, emotions, and spirit, so you can develop what I call an internal secure attachment. The second half explores how you can learn to be in intimate relationships, where we unpack co-regulation, triggers, boundaries, communication, and other meaningful connections to help you build secure, flourishing relationships. This book is intended for you whether you've thought about therapy but have not yet made the leap, or if you're currently engaged in psychotherapy and plan to use the book as an adjunct. This book is not a substitute for therapy. All attachment adaptations were forged in the fire of early childhood relationships. They are interpersonal adaptations, so being in the presence of an attuned, compassionate, and trauma-informed therapist will expedite your healing process and allow for reparative experiences. Moving into secure attachment is a journey. I like to think of this healing journey as the quintessential hero's journey, where the hero embarks on an adventure, faces challenges, and returns as a changed person. The healing journey is not for the faint-hearted. It is for those ready to look within, who are prepared to observe and challenge the old programming and gather the tools needed on the road back to self. A cyclone may have hit your life and brought you to this book as the beginning of your quest. As with any hero's journey, there will be moments of fear and pain, out of which grow the gifts of your empowerment and secure attachment. On this journey, bring the gifts of curiosity and kindness. Curiosity, because it's an antidote to self-judgment. Kindness, because it stops you from punishing yourself. Know that you are not alone on this journey. An estimated 58% of people have one of the three insecure attachment adaptations: anxious, avoidant, and disorganized. It is possible to move towards secure attachment as an adult. I invite you to reflect on how far you've already come and how resilient you are. Right now, as you hear these words, you have the power to choose how you move forward with this precious life. Gathering your resources for this journey. When therapists talk about resources, they're referring to all the skills, tools, abilities, and relationships available to you that help you regulate your nervous system and bring you back to a place of calmness and help build resilience. I suggest you keep a journal as you work through this book. There's no right way to do journaling. Use it in whatever way feels supportive to you. Think of your journal as a private space to chat with your best friend without judgment. A place to reflect and organize your thoughts and feelings and help integrate the shifts you'll experience. You may like to use a journal with some space for drawing, because some of what you want to record or explore may be more symbolic or come in images. There will also be reflections and experiences from the writing prompts in this audiobook. A fantastic way to enjoy this journey is with a friend. You might know someone who also struggles with anxious tendencies and choose to meet up once a week to discuss a chapter and even lead each other through some of the exercises. The exercises in this audiobook are structured to take your body, mind, and spirit on a holistic journey, so you're encouraged to do them as you come to them and not proceed in the book until you can do them rather than return to the exercises later. I've recorded many of the exercises as downloadable audio files that you can access for free on my website, www.psychotherapycentral.health/anxious-attachment. Many people find something comforting and supportive in hearing a caring voice guide them. But everyone is different, and if this doesn't work for you, you could record the practices on your phone and then listen to your voice lovingly guide yourself. Every exercise you do in this audiobook is an experiment. Some of these experiments will become resources, an additional skill or ability that aids self-regulation and helps keep you in your social engagement system, aka ventral vagal, which you'll learn about in Chapter 6. Other exercises may not become resources for you, and that's okay. I invite you to use what works and leave what doesn't suit you. Many instructions will ask you to close your eyes. This allows most people to go into a deeper self-reflective state because some outside stimulus is blocked. But closing your eyes may feel uncomfortable. If this is the case, I invite you to lower your gaze and soften your focus for the exercises. Working with my body, mind, emotions, and spirit has helped me create a stronger sense of self, self-worth, and self-trust. I have much clearer boundaries and can communicate them more skillfully than before. I feel connected to my core needs and values and have learned how to reference those needs before taking care of everyone else around me. Even though I still get triggered occasionally, I can return to a felt sense of calm faster and tend to not get stuck in anxious reactions for days at a time like I used to. That's why I proudly share this work with clients, students, and you, my listener. Despite the early difficulties in my relationship, I married the man I mentioned above, and we have two beautiful, empathic, and joy-filled children. We've both grown and changed since our wedding. We've held at the forefront of our hearts the desire to move into deeper intimacy with one another, even when it's difficult. Through the vehicle of our relationship, more of myself has been revealed to me, and we've developed a secure relationship that we both value, and with it, more secure individual tendencies. An unexpected byproduct of this healing work has been a deep sense of inner peace and connectedness that extends to all living beings, which has fueled a desire to serve others. We commonly do the healing work on ourselves first, and are then drawn to help others as a result. Allow yourself the time you need for your own healing. It might be that your anxious adaptation is revealed to be one of your biggest gifts, as it was for me. My greatest pain pulled me into a future I could only have imagined. Know that I am with you every step of the way on this journey, cheering you on. You can do this. Chapter 1. Your anxious attachment is an adaptation. He walks into the room and you know something is wrong. He's angry. Have you done something? Is he angry with you? What can you do to fix it? You act casual, but you're watching him like a hawk in your peripheral vision. He says he's had a bad day at work and his boss is being an idiot. He doesn't look at you while he's speaking. He's making some tea. He feels distant. You feel tense. You can't relax until you feel closer to him. You don't feel safe. You try to talk to him about his day at work, but he says he doesn't want to talk about it and just wants to watch the TV and zone out. You follow him to the TV room. You watch some TV, but you're waiting for a sign that it's safe to get closer. You make some comments about the news to see how he responds. He seems more relaxed. You reach over to squeeze his hand. He squeezes your hand in return. You didn't realize until that moment just how stressed you'd been. A wave of relief washes over you. The relationship is safe, and so are you. Exhale. When you have the anxious adaptation, scenes like this are typical. You might have noticed in intimate relationships that you tend to be hypervigilant about your partner's mood and how close you feel to one another. You're likely to be hyper-aware of moments when your partner seems to pull away and find that you have a strong reaction and struggle to calm down until they feel close again. In those moments, you need reassurance that the relationship is safe and that they love and care for you. In the back of your mind, you're wondering if they'll stay with you. You feel that they are somehow better than you. It's so difficult to believe that they care for you. No matter how much they tell or show you, there's always a nagging doubt that they will find something unlovable in you and leave. And that would be the most devastating thing, to be left, to have your fears confirmed. You'll do anything to prevent that. This is where you betray yourself in big and small ways. It might be saying something is okay when it's not, or always putting their needs before yours. You might also start to feel like you can't survive without them, that they are the only good thing in your life, becoming emotionally dependent. Know that you're not alone in this experience. This is the impact of your anxious attachment adaptation. Attachment theory, the dance of love. Attachment theory emerged from the work of psychiatrist and psychoanalyst John Bowlby and has been built on by neuroscientists and social psychologists. All children have an inbuilt attachment system that drives them to stay close to their caregivers, to help them survive in an unpredictable and sometimes dangerous world. The goal of this attachment system is a sense of felt security. You can relax when you feel safe and know that your caregiver is close and responsive. If you're unsure that they will be there in the way you need, Part of you must remain on high alert, anxious. We develop this sense of felt security from the experience of being attuned to. Attunement happens when someone is aware of your physical and emotional needs and is lovingly responsive to them. You will have developed a secure attachment style if you've received good enough attunement from your attachment figure as a child. Picture a 10-month-old in their bouncer who starts to get bored or hungry. They moan and move their arms and legs, looking towards their mother. The mother sees this gentle call for attention, approaches, lifts them out of their bouncer while asking what they might need with a loving voice. This is attunement. The infant doesn't need to escalate, to start to cry or scream, because they've been attended to. What helps us create secure attachment? Researchers have found protection, attunement, soothing, expressed delight in the child, and encouragement to be core factors in creating a secure attachment. When these five conditions are met enough of the time, a secure attachment is formed, and as a result, we grow healthy and supportive ideas about ourselves and others. If there was insufficient attunement, you would have formed one of the three insecure attachment styles: anxious, avoidant, or disorganized. Your anxious attachment adaptation is a logical and natural response to inconsistent, unpredictable, or overly anxious parenting, especially by your primary caregiver. You might have grown up with a traumatized mother who was terrified of you being hurt in the way she was. So she was overprotective and smothering, limiting your natural desire to explore the world. Or perhaps you had an inconsistent caregiver, sometimes validating and emotionally available, but sometimes overwhelmed by working three jobs, caring for a sibling who needs a lot of attention, or managing an abusive partner. This causes you to become hypersensitive to their behavior, tone of voice, and change in mood as you try to get your needs met. While you make space to acknowledge how it was for you in your childhood, it is important to note that the intention here is not to blame your parents or make them wrong for everything they did or didn't do. It's to recognize where the patterns have come from, for the patterns to make sense, given some of the things you did and didn't experience in your childhood. These experiences of connection and disconnection created embedded patterns of relating and attaching, which built the foundation for your future intimate relationships. Forming a relationship template. Attachment patterns are created through repeated relational interactions. Imagine that as a child, something happens and you feel scared. You go to your caregiver for safety and support. The caregiver isn't available. Maybe they are working or caring for other children and shoo you away. Perhaps they have depression or a physical illness and struggle to care for themselves. You learn not to go there for safety and support. Then what? Generally, you would have used one of two strategies. The first is hyperactivating, anxious. Thoughts and feelings that make you want to get closer to your caregiver, which might look like watching your carer's every move to try to work out when and how to get your needs met, or becoming more distressed and demanding. Alternatively, you might have used deactivating, avoidant strategies. Thoughts and feelings that compel you to move away from the carer, which might look like you ignoring the caregiver and denying that they have any impact on you. You start to ask for less and suppress your needs. For both the anxious and the avoidant styles, you learn that you can't rely on a relationship with another person to provide you with the soothing or protection you need. These interactions form a template for what Bowlby referred to as your internal working model, a mental representation or template of what you expect to happen in relationships based on what you've experienced. You then use this model to assess how relationships are as an automatic knowing. These models include how you see yourself and how you expect others to respond to you. Children are wired to survive. You might like to take a moment and thank your nervous system and yourself as a child for being adaptable enough to survive. Attachment in adulthood. Just as children have a survival instinct to stay connected to their caregiver, research shows that this continues into adulthood with a drive to have an intimate attachment figure. A growing body of research demonstrates the similarity of the child-caregiver relationship to the adult-couple relationship. Researchers have explored the patterns of infant-carer separation and found that intimate partner relationships follow a similar pattern during periods of separation. By the time we're fully grown adults, we already have an imprint of how intimate relationships work based on our childhood experiences. These form a template for our adult relationships, whereby we will tend to expect what we've received as a child and we'll have an automatic pull to respond in the same way we did as a child. Thinking in terms of relational distance. The easiest way to think about attachment patterns in adulthood is in terms of relational space and connection. Securely attached people like some overlap and some independence, creating interdependence. Avoidantly attached people like more relational space and less connection, and struggle to find a place to overlap. It feels unsafe to them. Anxiously attached people like a lot of overlap and connection. Too much distance feels unsafe. Do you have an anxious attachment? As you answer the following questions, consider a recent or current significant relationship. Using your journal, work through the following statements and rate them according to the following scale. True, 3 points. Sometimes true, 2 points. Not at all true, 1 point. 1. Do you tend to get attached to a new partner quickly and find it difficult to keep perspective? 2. When you get upset, do you find it difficult to calm yourself down and feel that you need others to calm you? 3. In a relationship, do you tend to put your partner's needs before your own? 4. Do you feel that your partner doesn't care about you as much as you care about them? 5. Do you find that you are highly attuned to your partner's moods? 6. Do you find yourself yearning for emotional validation, to have your emotions understood and accepted by your partner? 7. Once you sense something is wrong in the relationship, do you feel compelled to fix it, even to your detriment? 8. Do you have a pattern of overgiving in relationships and then feeling resentful? 9. Is it difficult to feel your partner's love when they express it in different ways? 10. Do you tend to become highly reactive and distressed during conflict? 11. Do you frequently worry about the relationship ending? 12. Is it difficult for you to know where your boundaries are? 13. Do you worry about being abandoned? 14. Is it challenging to be alone? Do you find being alone triggers strong emotions? 15. Do you worry that when your partner gets to know you, they won't like who you are? Notice if you have a lot of 1, 2, or 3s. If you have a lot of 1s, you're likely to be more on the avoidant end of the attachment spectrum. If you have a lot of 2s, you are more secure in your attachment style. If you have a lot of 3s, you are more anxious in your attachment style. The challenges of the anxious adaptation. Research has shown that there are 3 core challenges of the anxious adaptation. First, the current template of how you see yourself in relation to others often leaves you feeling less worthy than your partner and wondering when they're going to find out and leave you.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?